Back here on WEEI Afternoons, we are in the midst of our three-point stance, which is presented, as always, by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers. We had Andy Hart bringing up the NBA and its marketing issues. We had Nick Fitzy-Stevens, Free Jacks promotion, got to get down there, got to get your tickets if you haven't already. And those discussions were so engaging that I was told point blank by Ted Johnson, Andy, do not shove me into a corner. Do not shove Ted Johnson into a corner with the few minutes remaining for the three-point stance. So, Ted, I ask you as we return here on the program, are you ready?
I'm ready, bud.
Well, your 60 seconds, they begin right now.
All right. Thank you, Daniel. Look, yesterday I talked about my three-point, about the C's needing to get younger, more athletic, and just change their style of play. When you look at the two teams in the finals, just it's just drastic difference in style, athleticism, and just really – overall philosophy. And if the Celtics aren't going to start changing how they do things, they're going to be in big trouble. That was basically the premise of yesterday. And I talked about the Celtics being one of the older teams in the NBA, and those two teams in the finals, the youngest team to ever win the NBA finals were OKC this year. So they need to get younger. They need to change their philosophy. And so it's been interesting to hear kind of Brad Stevens talk the last couple nights, because a lot of these, he talks about a lot of these different issues. Listen to him talking about just the style of play for the Celtics in that second round series loss to the Knicks, and especially those two games when they had 20-point leads that they blew up. Listen to Brad Stevens' point on that.
You know, I talked about the Knicks series a little bit. I mean, I think it really boils down to those first two games in a lot of ways in my mind. You know, I don't know Jason's injury. You know, who knows what you do if that series is 3-1 you at that time, and do you finish it out or whatever the case, right? Things can go different ways, but I thought the part of those games that stood out to me was more than anything when we got stagnant and we played without pace, and you could just feel it. You could see the walking up. You could see all that. I think we're going to try to address some of that.
Boom. I mean, he says it right there. It stood out. It was so obvious that the pace was stagnant and walking the ball up. Jason Tatum bringing the ball up and basically taking, you know, most of the shot clock away for no one else to kind of get, you know, what they need. It gives defenses a chance to breathe and recover. And so if you look at the two teams, now listen to Brad Stevens talk about the two teams that nobody watched, ratings were down. Listen to what he thought about these NBA finals and what stood out to him about these two teams.
I think if you watch the finals, I think the two teams that deserved to be playing were playing. You know, it wasn't about anything else. The best two teams in the league were playing. They played awesome. They deserved to be there. They outplayed everybody. They played really, really hard the right way. So we were that team last year, and, you know, we'll strive to be that team again.
He just was a big fan of – he goes on to talk about the coaches, but – how they push the ball, and they did. I mean, that's both of those teams really made each other work hard on the defensive side of the ball by the way they pushed it, the way they moved the ball and passed it. So, to me, that is the Celtics. That's the new brand. That is the new NBA. And hopefully a cut we can play from Scal later where he basically says the new NBA is cutting. That's going to be the new NBA. Based on what he saw in these NBA finals,
I hope everybody got a chance to like enjoy it as a basketball fan, because those Indiana Oklahoma City games were amazing.
I mean, listen to that. Nobody watched. Nobody cared. I mean, they were. If you're like a true basketball fan, I don't know how you don't watch those games and get excited about. It's so much better than watching the style of the Celtics. You kidding me?
Absolutely. The question I would have, and I have thoughts, is that he has this discussion with us publicly. Will he have this discussion? Does Joe Mazzulla have this discussion? Who has this discussion with Jason Tatum? Because that's the guy that you told us a story about Larry Izzo yesterday. Player only meeting, circling.
Right here.
Right? Is anybody going to sit down and watch some film and be like, put two TVs on and put that series on and then put video of Jason Tatum walking the ball up, you know, getting close to an 8 count every single time before he crosses. Is somebody going to do, like, that's a tough conversation to have with your superstar player who has played a certain way for a few years now, and try to convince him that the best way for him and the Boston Celtics isn't the way that he plays.
But isn't that, so doesn't that go Brad Stevens to Mazzulla, Mazzulla to his assistant coaches, the entire coaching staff to all of his players, so you have to do it tier by tier?
I mean, to me, if Brad Stevens wants to have that conversation, because that's a coaching conversation, right? Pace of play, That's a coaching conversation.
Of course.
That's like being in one of those little huddles where he's mic'd up. Listen, we're playing too slow. We got to do like.
Yeah, I think that's the head coach's overall philosophy on
right.
Yeah.
So this is like a coaching conversation from the president to the media in a way. Like maybe he's the one that has to have that conversation. He has the longest He has a longer relationship with Jason Tatum.
He might, Andy. I mean, this is. But they haven't had these conversations, and they won't because Jason Tatum's, you know, on the you know, he's still recovering from an Achilles, so they're not gonna. It's not something they need to worry about right now. But my guess is, while Jason Tatum's out for most of next year, that Brad wants to kind of show what, you know, at the start of, you know, summer camp and training camp and then the start of the season, what a new kind of style looks like.
Love it.
And how much better it will be for this team moving forward.
You have me excited to watch the Boston Celtics this year. Not only my JB thing, but style of play. If they're going to play a little bit more of a frenetic kind of up-paced, push-the-ball style, I love it. But you only do it for a year? And like, how do you – then you got to blend Tatum back in at some point because he's still your best player.
I mean, but you also – don't you think kind of the players, even though a lot of us don't think that they'll maybe even be here very long, that they traded for and drafted fit the style that is what I'm talking about, the cutting?
Yep.
And just so people know, they
got Ugo.
They have to get – people are going to have to get used to this term, sacrificial cuts. This is going to be the new buzzword, cut rate, cut percentage. The Celtics in the playoffs of 16 teams ranked dead last in cut percentage, 16 out of 16 in the playoffs. And in the regular season, their cut rate, 26th in the NBA in cut rate. So
doesn't
the ball doesn't move. It just it's stagnant.
Yeah, not surprised.
And so that's what you're seeing.
You know what this reminds me of, Teddy? And you know this because you got a daughter who plays it. This is a little girls' lacrosse. This because it's not the first cut that's designed to get – it's the second or third cut that's coming off the first cut that is actually designed to get the ball. But the person making the first cut has to do it with the intention and the intensity that the defense thinks we're being threatened.
It's a great way to put it.
And you need to – now, I do actually think you're better suited to do that now. No offense to Porzingis or Jrue Holiday or those guys.
Without question.
But with Ugo and Anfernee Simons, these young guys, Peyton Pritchard, you don't think he'll cut with some intensity?
Oh, and Derek White?
Derek White,
I'm curious,
JB?
What I'm curious to hear you say to say is you're suggesting that Jason Tatum would not be open to this approach.
You think I am suggesting that.
Why? You think
there's a possibility?
You don't think his game can transform?
I think it could if Jason Tatum willingly says, you guys looked good. I was doing tricep pushdowns for a full year, and you guys looked good playing that style. I want to play.
You know what? You know what's interesting? You know who I'm not even thinking of? You know who I think this new age NBA stylistic of all the cutting, it does not help at all? Is Jaylen Brown. I think Jaylen Brown. I took a turn. I felt personal. It's not just Jason Tatum. Like, I'll be interested to see.
This is how Jaylen Brown wants to play.
I disagree.
Athletic, up tempo, dunking on people.
I think we're missing also a grander point as well, which is what Brad Stevens is doing right now. We may find it to be. I'll stop short of saying revolutionary, but kind of groundbreaking. The idea of like, whoa, he's going to change everything that's worked with these guys. No, he's changing everything about the Celtics right now that he had to financially, but also he's working to assemble a team that'll be edgier, more energetic, scrappy, gritty, all those descriptives we used earlier in the week, Andy, because they're going to have to be in absence of their star player who you sometimes naturally just lean on, and they wouldn't be doing their job. My God, it would almost be like they didn't see a friggin' game this year if they were to say, guys, hey, we won one, injuries got the best of us, let's run it back, third time's the charm. My God, any one of us could have told you from January on these Celtics were fundamentally flawed on a number of levels. It's time to go back to the Brad Stevens basketball lab and reinvent this excellent team to make them great again.
It's true. Like, it's not hard. It's no big deal to just change what and Joe Mozilla is still young. You know, part of me wonders, like, because he leaned into it hard. He was almost like a prophet for it. And you think,
yes,
like this was like his base, you know, bread and butter philosophy on basketball.
That's okay. If Tiger Woods can redo his swing after winning a major, then Joe Mozilla can reconfigure his coaching philosophy after winning a title. 617-779-7937. We're talking the NBA. We're talking Joe Mozilla. We're talking about Brad Stevens. What about Joe Mozilla's contract? Is he a lame duck coach or not? Brad Stevens had some interesting comments yesterday. We'll play those for you up next about Joe Mozilla's contract here on WEEI Afternoons.
those discussions in-house. But we've got Joe under contract for multiple years right now. And so we certainly want Joe to be around here for a long time.
Going into the final season, comparing it to Jim Montgomery and what had happened with the Bruins when he didn't have a contract extension. Yeah. And then Brad Stevens just like, we've got him under contract for multiple years.
Wait, wait, what?
What'd you say? Did you mean to say that?
It was almost as if he, you know, he was so nonchalant when he's got to know that we all, were thinking one thing when it was really something else.
I mean, unless he doesn't know what we don't know and kind of that situation. I don't know. It's very, so did they extend him when he won the title? Is that what they did? They tacked something on?
The way I understand it is that he's got 1 year left and then a team option year. So it's basically
the lame duck year for sure.
Okay, so he's not a lame duck coach, which is good.
He is not.
But the team has flexibility. Those of us that question Joe Mazzulla and might want to watch this, you know, you've talked about Jaylen Brown. This is an interesting year. It's an interesting year for Joe Mazzulla with the roster and
without question,
whatever changes.
That's a perfect form.
Right, and he is off seeing the world and learning leadership and doing all these things. I saw he's at some big conference, leadership conference thing.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, we haven't talked about this. I've wanted to talk about it. It's a perfect summer kind of story. But just his new friendship with Josh Waitzkin. You know, the chess
problem. Oh, yeah, yeah.
The movie Searching for Bobby Fischer.
Oh, Josh, Josh Baskin? No.
Waitzkin.
Waitzkin, that's right. Yep, Searching for Bobby Fischer. Yes, thank you, Tim.
Right. So he
great movie.
So that it's basically hit that real life version of him, and they go down to Costa Rica, and they, you know, it's a little, you know,
we like it.
It's new agey,
too much.
And you know what? It can't hurt.
Sure,
well, no, actually, it can't.
He's the guy who did it. He's into jujitsu, and he did a jujitsu somersault in the locker room. What if he starts playing chess in the locker room? Yeah. Like, the players could be like, what the F is
this? It's almost, you know, we're not worried about
chess
leadership.
Over checkers guy.
Don't worry about leadership as much as worry about, like, not running the same play three times in a row. Like, just
run it again.
But this is
they'll
who
never
he is.
Know.
This they'll is never who expect is. It.
And when we were winning, we all loved it. Like, oh, that's just Joe. We like. Yeah,
don't speak for
Andy,
me, sir.
I know.
Don't use we when it's thee.
But most of us, I remember in the beginning, it was, oh, this Joe's weird. Joe's weird. His beef with the media. He's trying to be Bill. But then, you know, we started winning, and it kind of turned around, and I think he became beloved. Like, I don't want to see Joe go, personally.
No, well, I mean, we'll see. I know how you are, Stiz. You're very passionate and loyal until you're not, and if he... You know,
he's a Belichick because he reminds him of Belichick, Andy. That's why.
Right. And but, you know, the difference
that's
is
his idol, too, by the way.
Yep. Absolutely. But
I've talked to
Eminem and Belichick. What a combo.
Oh, yeah.
Was that a great story or a brag right there?
Yeah, a little humble brag right there.
Who have you talked to?
You know, I've had a relationship with the head coach of the Celtics. Yes.
So are your opinions questionable?
No, I wouldn't.
You biased?
I told him, look, I can't get too close to you, bro. Because then I got to, like, really, you know, because I got to talk critical.
Did you grab his arm?
I did. I sized up Joe. I knew Joe when he was on the back row.
Could Joe take you?
You know what? He might be. He's crazy enough.
He's
that
crazy.
Would be a I gotta got, say that
he's
would be
nimble.
A fun sim.
He's yeah. nimble, right?
I'd pay to. I think he'd take you.
Yeah. I mean,
I think you have the strength, but I think he has sort of the flexibility and the
he
knowledge.
He does have the flexibility. My core is pretty good right now. You know?
You're feeling good about your core.
Core's really strong.
Your lower legs don't measure up to somebody else in the studio, but that's a different topic for a different day.
Part of the leg, the calf muscle.
I said lower leg.
Doing?
Okay, you did.
What are we doing?
But is Please. It a good thing just in, like, I made the joke the day the Knicks fired Tom Thibodeau. I was like,
yeah, how are they doing on
Celtics?
Search
terrible. You know who they should call? Tom Thibodeau. And just say, I'm sorry, we made a terrible mistake. Like, we shouldn't have broken up. It happens in, like, romance relationships. Why can't
Yeah, just outside the window with the boombox on top of your head.
Please.
Yeah,
I've made a terrible mistake. But
right.
when he was fired, I was like, I'm not sure if he might not be a better coach than Joe Mazzulla. I think there's a lot of reason to compare. Is that fair? Or is Joe Mazzulla, like, Brad Stevens feels like he's all in on Joe Mazzulla. Like, there is a long-term
Without that question. He's not going anywhere.
Do you have that
Sigh.
Same feeling?
Yeah.
I can I tell you after the end of this upcoming year? I think this upcoming year is going to tell me a lot.
It will, but how do you feel right now?
You know, here's the thing. He won in his first 3 years. He's won, you know, the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
And that's going to carry some weight with me. So he's going to get a longer leash. I'm trying to think of Spoelstra. Like, did Eric have instant success when he was you know, sure starting out down there.
Did he?
And he was one of the 2 years. He started almost the same age that Joe did, being the head coach here, you know, here. So I almost think there's a feeling that we're all going to go through and take, like, where Jerod Mayo, we didn't have the patience to, like, let him figure out on the job how to learn how to be a head coach. Just like, no, dude, we saw what we needed to see and we moved on. Joe is going to get more leverage and more, you know, kind of, I think, benefit of the doubt.
Dan Ball, you have Eric Spoelstra's career?
Yeah, he made the playoffs in each of the first 6 years that he coached the Heat. Two losses in the first round, then finals loss, finals win, finals win, finals loss. Damn. And I'll give you one guess what happened when they started going to the finals.
LeBron James came?
That's correct.
Craziest but thing.
The difference slash comparison, you brought up Mayo. And the comparison with Miami, I think, is apt, is that standing behind Spoelstra was Pat Riley. Like, literally and figuratively, like...
Same thing.
And you have that here. If Bill Belichick had been standing behind Jerod Mayo...
You don't stand behind...
No, I know, but I'm just saying, if the aged guy had just bumped upstairs and was, like, arms crossed behind him every time he talked, doesn't that carry weight? That helps the guy, that emboldens him, gives him cachet.
If we all think... If Brad has an 86 approval rating, then that means if he believes in the head coach, then the head coach is going to get the benefit of the doubt from the fans if they think that highly of Brad Stevens.
Right. So we'll see. I do think Brad Joe Mazzulla is more popular with his boss than he is with the fans.
Maybe.
And with us, maybe.
Maybe.
And that's really the one that matters, right? It's probably the same thing with Alex Cora these days. There's a lot of fans. We take calls, texts, Twitch chat, people that want to run Cora out of town.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great, but if his bosses and the people that he works with think he's the best manager for the job, those are the two or three people that really matter. 617-779-7937. We see you lining up, talking a little NBA basketball, Celtics. We've touched on a lot of things this afternoon, and there's a lot we need to get to, and one of them is a comparison game. We got to get a little football in, and it's not Jordan yet. We'll get Jordan for Ted later because Jordan.
I haven't heard the story.
Oh, Jordan's in a feud with Linda. It's good. Oh, it's good stuff. It involves emails and relationships
back
and gold
better
digging.
Than ever.
So we'll get to that later. But up next, we have some interesting comparisons for Drake May. Somebody who he's compared to is talking favorably about him. But we also have some audio of guys talking about other quarterbacks they would have wanted for the New England Patriots if they didn't have Tom Brady. So some Patriots quarterback talk with WEEI Afternoons up next.
Afternoons with Hart, Bitsy, and Johnson on WEEI.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday.